Welcome to the Lansdale Life Church Podcast. If you're seeking a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, this podcast is for you. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, I have to say, when I first read this chapter last week, we're going to teach on here. We got a bunch of names. Pretty much almost all the chapter was names. So spend some time praying and thinking on it and just kind of working through some stuff. So here we go, right? So in Numbers 26, we're right up here on the plains of Moab. It's just east of the Jordan River. And you can see here kind of this is the plight that the Israelites took. This is where they kind of circled around the middle of nowhere for 40 years and then made their way up here. But this is kind of where they're hanging out and they're making their way into the promised land. So by this time, all of the previous generation that had come out of Exodus, the rebellious generation, is died off, and this new generation, they're on the brink of entering into the promise. And that's got to be exciting and terrifying for them all at the same time. Joshua's going to be the leader as they go in, because Moses was not crossing over. And this is the second, so this whole book is about the census. It's the second census, if you remember, for those of you that were here, the first census was in the beginning of Numbers at Mount Sinai. And that had been about, I know it's only one chapter, but believe it or not, it was about 38 years previous before the last. And that first census was about 1 year that they had come out of Egypt, just to give a little perspective and a little context to where they were. So how and why were they doing the census? A lot of reasons, and we're going to get into that. Basically, how they went. You know, you got to ask yourself. Okay, there's, 2 million some odd people here. How do you go about counting, 2 million some odd people? So they gathered the tribes, the 12 tribes, and the various clan leaders, and over a period of days, probably more like weeks or even more, families came forward, tribe by tribe. And each man that was 20 plus years old, had to declare his name and his genealogy. So it would be, I am Jamie, son of Earl of the clan of Alabach. And that's how they would present themselves. And they each paid a half a shekel of silver. They would call it as a ransom, and this went into the treasury, and the officials would count this and record them. So at the end, there was about 601, well, it was exactly according to the word, 601,730,000 fighting men. So if you do some rough math, so they didn't count women and children, the elderly. So if you do some rough math, there was about 2 to 2.5 million Israelites at this point, all together, including women. So one of the ways that they approached this was, you had, this continuity from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then the 12 tribes that were there. And then from there, they had the clans and the households. And some of the tribes shrank and some of the tribes grew due to obedience and disobedience. So, for example, Simeon shrank dramatically due to the judgment related to the Baal Peor incident in the previous chapter. So if you remember, there was about 24,000 Israelites that were killed. The tribe of Manasseh, and as well as others, they grew in God's favor because they were obedient. So you had this kind of ebbing and flowing. You know, when you think about, we've talked about this before, that, you know, God is kind of instituting this order of society. And, you know, every functioning society has these things. So, you know, you could say, yeah, this is a census, but really in part it was, you know, partly tax collection. It was partly kind of a public registration, you know, to identify, you know, who was who and where they were. The whole chapter kind of almost reads a bit like a legal document, so to speak, and that's because that's kind of what it was. It was an official roll call for the Israelites on the brink of when they're going into the promised land to wage war. So that kind of sets the context for things. And this will be the first time, at least that I'm doing, that I'm not really going to go through verse by verse. We're going to kind of look at it more in an outline form and kind of in a bigger idea of what it was. So verses 1 through 5 basically covers off on God's commands to Moses and Eleazar, who was Aaron's son and now the high priest, to take a census of all the males 20 years older who were able to go to war. Verses 52 through 56, and that was the majority of the chapter, by the way. 52 through 56 gives instructions for how the promised land will be apportioned. So they're already, they haven't even gone in and basically beat up the Canaanites yet, because they're already like thinking how we're going to divide this land. So big part of this is how it's going to be apportioned, you know, by lots, you know, God's sovereign choice. How it's going to go by tribes. Some tribes were larger, some tribes were smaller. We're going to talk a bit about that. 57 through 62, there was a separate census taking for the tribe of Levi, the Levites, who were the priests, and they did not receive territory, which we'll talk about again. And then the closing note emphasizes that none of the people counted in the first census except for Caleb and Joshua are still alive. God's word of judgment was fulfilled exactly. So let's talk a little bit about why was the census, you know, needed. So basically, this is the first generation out of the wilderness, this is the second generation that came in. The first generation basically, you know, died off. This chapter is immediately after the plague that took 24,000 lives. So this kind of marks the end, you know, of a generation and a significant move forward. So really, there's a head count needed, because, you know, when you have that many people, you've just got to know what's going on. And basically, you know, they knew they were heading into war. So one of it was for military readiness. So they were about to wage a holy war on Canaan, knowing they needed to know exactly what their military might was and their capability. And, you know, this is kind of an unusual way for us to look at it as a society, but God was really kind of their commander in chief, right? You know, and he is ordering the census. And, you know, there's all kinds of scripture. You know, Exodus 15:3 says that the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Isaiah 42:13 says the Lord goes forth like a warrior. He stirs up his zeal like a man of war. Psalm 24:8, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God, a warrior who gives victory. So that's how God portrayed himself, and that's how many of the Israelites saw God. Now, you know, we see God a bit different. We know in Ephesians 6, he says that our battle is not against flesh and blood anymore. But our battle is a spiritual battle. So sometimes things like that, when you say, okay, God was basically their commander-in-chief and taking them into war, it's a very foreign concept to us, because we view God a bit different than now. But God is getting ready to lead his people into battle, and he wants them to be organized under his command. So the military readiness and responsiveness was a big part of this census. They needed to know what military assets they had in front of them. Another big part was the land distribution. Think about the William Penn land grant, right? Okay, this is kind of, you know, on a much grander scale. Now, they're calling it the inheritance, but they're basically taking a census of people to try to understand how they're going to divide this land, because there had to be a level of organization to it. Again, you've got 2 million plus people. You're not just going to say, hey, everybody kind of, you know, it's not going to be like the Wild West was here, where it's like, okay, just go and, you know, take what you want as far as land. There was a level of organization that had to be in place, and this was very much looked at as an inheritance, but as you'll see, not all things were created equal in some ways. So the land was promised to Abraham back in Genesis. So this was a promise that was made to Abraham, and it was about to be fulfilled. And there, the census was providing some data for this as to how it was going to be divided. So, where did my mouse go? I think I lost my mouse. Is it up there? There it is. I always get messed up here. There we go. I got it back. So the land is to be divided by tribe. So the larger tribes received a larger portion. The smaller tribes received smaller. Now the boundaries of the land, like where it was and who was going up against who, was chosen by lot. Okay, so basically, in essence, you know, God is deciding if you're calling it by, you know, by chance, and this would prevent favoritism. So I don't know if many of you know this, but you know, I come from the Anabaptists or Mennonites, and even up until the 60s. They used to choose their pastor by lot. So if you were the lucky one, you drew the straw and you won. In fact, I have a great great uncle, Christian Auerbach, who was part of the Rock Hill Mennonite. And I don't know all the details surrounding it, but he kind of left there and went to Taliesin because he didn't want to be part of that. And then at Taliesin, he was selected as the pastor anyway. So. And he was a very gifted pastor from what I understand. So they used to choose a pastor by lot. And how they looked at it was They were putting it into the hands of God. So that's what they're saying here is that the boundaries and who's next to who and who's bordering who was all decided by lot, which would be God's, you know, God's providence. So when you think about land, you know, I think we look at land a little bit different, okay? We have a land and we have our house and it just kind of is what it is. But, you know, they looked at it as kind of an identity thing, a livelihood. They lived off the land. They used the land to build a burial place for their ancestors, a future for their family. So there was a lot built into land and the idea of land. If you didn't have land, you had no future, no name, no inheritance for your children. And that's biblical. It's written in Ruth. It's written in Jeremiah. So land was very, very, very important to them. Now, you know, we know from writings in the New Testament, you know, by Paul mostly, that we as believers are Abraham's seed and co-heirs to the promise. Galatians 3:29 says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we are heirs according to that inheritance. Hebrews 11:9-10. We recently went through this on Sunday. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, talking about Abraham, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. So they looked forward to this promise. They never saw it, and they looked forward to it. And we, the Israelites, were getting ready to step into this promise, but we are living in that promise now. We are living in that inheritance. Let your head wrap around that for a second. We're living in that inheritance right now. And what this represented to them, and I know what it represents to me, is this kind of renewal, this new life after failure or after death, this renewal. So the whole nation kind of gets a reboot. You know, all of this stuff that went wrong along the way, all of the failures, all of the rebellion, all of the stuff that just, you know, we've read and read and read about, it is all in the past now. And this is kind of a reboot. And what it says, and we know this to be true as followers of Jesus, that past failures do not cancel out future promises that God makes to us, and I'm thankful for that. So they embraced it. We can embrace it, this fresh start, a new season, a redeemed life, a redeemed identity, and living in this promise. So land distribution was a big piece of why they were taking this census. Another reason, you know, and again, this seems a bit odd to us, because, you know, I think, you know, we try to, you know, we want to be a people of humility, but this was about purity and identity of the covenant people, of the chosen people of God. So God was building this holy nation and precise records to preserve this line for the coming Messiah was imperative. You know, in other words, protecting this messianic bloodline that was going to come. And this is how they looked at themselves. They looked at themselves as, you know, we are a special people. We are different than the Egyptians. We are different than, you know, the Canaanites. We are different than all of these other people because we are chosen by God. And that's a special thing. So they were the promised seed, the son of David. So these were some of the tones you'll hear through Scripture: the promised seed, the son of David, the Messiah, all paving the way for Jesus, who was to come through this traceable line all the way back to the census. So mixed marriages and lost genealogies and all of this stuff would break that chain. And we know that both Matthew and Luke in the Gospels, they would trace the genealogy back from Jesus all the way back. So the census was God's way of keeping the record straight, so that in the centuries later, in Gospels and in the Word, and even through mostly, you know, as they would talk about it, preserving this, that Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham, as it said in Matthew 1. So keeping that record. And I know I've talked about this before, is, when I would come to chapters like this, I would just like blow through that. I wouldn't even read that stuff. Same thing in like Matthew, I'm not even reading through the genealogy because it's just like, it's too much. But it is super, super important to the Jews. It was very, very, very important who you were and where you came from and the genealogy and the lineage behind it. So God is preserving that. So this idea of holiness of this covenant community, Israel was called to be a holy nation. So all of these things were they had to keep that purity. So precise tribal and clan registration made it very clear, who belonged where, who could marry whom, preventing, what they would call, spiritual contamination that would destroy, and eventually would destroy some of the kingdoms, as we'll find out as we get through, like, to Kings and all of that. So this really was, some foreshadowing here in the book of Revelations that repeatedly speaks about those names that are written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. So not the same kind of census and genealogy, but kind of a foreshadowing of what was to come. Paul calls the church the Israel of God, Galatians 6, and says believers are enrolled in a heavenly registry in Hebrews 12, 23, and Philippians 4, 3, and Luke 10, 20. So God has always kept this precise list of who are his. He says that our names are written in his hand, in the palm of his hands. So Numbers 26 that we're going through is really an early picture of what an eternal reality is. So this was proof, as they documented this was proof of God's judgment and his grace. So when you compare the two censuses that were, roughly 40 years apart, they're almost the same. When I first looked at them, I'm there, how's that possible? If these guys are wandering in the desert for 40 years, a million some odd people, they're going to be multiplying. And it has to do with, the various forms of rebellion and how they were basically killed off. So God keeps his word when it comes to judgment, but he also keeps his word when it comes to grace and mercy. So both judgment on unbelief and mercy on preserving the people for himself is noted here and documented here. So the Levites were counted separately. There was a separate census, and they did not receive land inheritance. Why, you may ask? Because the Lord is their inheritance. Deuteronomy 10:9 says that is why the Levites have no share or inheritance among their fellow Israelites. The Lord is their inheritance, as the Lord your God told them. So they weren't to own land and things like the others did, Joshua 13:33, but to the tribe of Levi, Moses has given no inheritance. The Lord, the God of Israel, is their inheritance, as he promised them. So purity and identity of the covenant people was basically in the hands of the priests. And we went through this in a lot of detail before the book of Numbers. So the Levites, were the priests, and they were set apart for service and worship, and they were set apart to lead the nation to God. So this really shows how God puts a priority on holiness and worship and service, because their reward is much like our reward, right? What does God say? We are storing up, our reward in heaven, spiritual rewards. So not all blessings are land and wealth, right? We know that very well. Spiritual inheritance is its own reward. So, again, God is building this holy nation. So, they were part of this, but they were not part of the covenant. So let's kind of recap, a couple things here. These were a couple of things I always kind of like to take a step back and say, okay, what were the things that God really spoke to me here about? God works with a remnant, right? So there was a lot of people that were lost along the way, and the original generation did not make it into the promised land, including Moses. So, God will work with a remnant. There's an entire generation that was wiped out, yet God did not abandon his promise. He held true to his promise. No matter how corrupt or how wayward the generation went, he kept circling back with mercy and grace, and there was judgment along with that. He would always preserve the remnant of the faithful that were in there. So this new census is this picture of resurrection that comes from, we talked a little bit about this, at our life group on Monday, from Chris's sermon on Sunday, of how God can bring life from death. So this new generation that is going into the promised land is a remnant of life that came from death, a new people ready to inherit what the old forfeited through their unbelief. Another thing that really stuck out to me, and I kind of put this in the title, is that every name matters to God. Yeah, when I read through this, my eyes kind of glaze over. But God took the time to write every name down. Thousands of incredibly hard to pronounce names show that God knows every individual and that he cares. Even in a military census, no one is just a number to God. God is faithful to his promises. This is 685 years after he promised this to Abraham. 685 years. They waited, and God waited, and God was faithful to this. You know how we say that, you know, God's timing is not our timing. Well, I don't know. 685 years might be a little bit of a challenge for me. Another thing that I drew out of this is inheritance is by grace. So the land that God was giving them, it was not earned by them, it was not deserved by them, but it was freely given by God. And lastly, God's priority on holiness and worship. You know, the Levites, you know, their inheritance was God. Their inheritance was serving him. And, you know, how true is that in our lives as we serve? You know, we think about all of the stuff, you know, in our lives and the things that we have and the wealth that we have. But the fulfillment that comes out of serving God is at a completely different level. And it's a completely different level of fulfillment that God gives to us. So when we serve, when we're worshiping God, and God's presence is just all around us, that's not something that we can earn. That's not something that you can put on, you know, the same level as, you know, hey, look at my house, look at my car, look at this stuff. That's a different level. And that's, you know, that's what God was communicating through the tribe of Levi, is that these guys are getting so much more. And I believe and I know that is true for us, that God puts a high calling on worship and service and serving others. So Numbers 26, this is God's meticulous roll call, you know, for the second generation of Israel. And it really is such a testimony that unbelief and all of this stuff that they went through and that they did, you know, doesn't define who they are and where God can take them. God was taking them to a completely different place, and his covenant and promises are unbreakable. And his people are known by name. All of us are known by name to God. That's an awesome, awesome thing, isn't it? And, you know, I know for me, I'm going to look at this stuff a little bit different. I'm going to look at, like, censuses and genealogies, you know, a little bit different from here, from more of a, you know, okay, this is how, you know, God restores mercifully. This is how God, you know, looks at us. You know, he knows every single person, you know, by name, and he has redeemed us to a place and to a promise of inheritance. So I have some handouts that you guys have, and I think there's a lot of stuff we can talk through in groups.
Thanks for joining us at Lansdale Life Church as we praise God and discuss His Word. Don't forget to join us for Worship Live Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. Be blessed and have a great day.